Hello, Pure Power members. I'm here today with the absolutely radiant and inspirational Kirsten Kier Weiss. I have known Kirsten for many years through this work, but it was only a few years ago that I came to fully realize what Kirsten had created as a beauty brand, which has actually been in operation for 13 years now. Once I learned about the Kier Weiss one-of-a-kind beauty product philosophy, and used the Kier Weiss Life Force fueled makeup and skincare products firsthand, I became nothing short of Kier Weiss's biggest fan. I had never before been so impressed with a makeup and skincare line. Kirsten grew up on a farm on the edge of a forest in Denmark, but she has been living in the United States for 25 years. After working as a makeup artist for over two decades, Kirsten began developing her own Kier Weiss brand in 2003 due to seeing all the issues the models had on their faces and how the models' issues stemmed directly from the makeup brands Kirsten was using from her makeup kit on their skin. And so the Kier Weiss brand, conceived upon totally solving that issue, was officially birthed and launched in 2010. The products, both the skincare and makeup lines, are designed specifically to be energy-based. The intention behind them is the active pursuit of moving the wearer and the beauty industry forward by using the purest, highest vibration energetic ingredients. Today, the Kier Weiss Certified Organic Makeup and Skincare line is celebrated globally for these unique qualities. Plus, her performance sustainability packaging, which is the hallmark of ultimate luxury in performance and sustainability. Kirsten's uncompromising brand and oracle-like visionary leadership are truly bringing a transcendent example to her customers and to the beauty industry alike. The latter, which is sitting up and distinctly taking note. Kirsten expresses her company's perspective on using only the highest quality organic ingredients this way. Luxury is time, so we wait on the weather, on the bees, on the seasonal ingredients that are organically and biodynamically farmed, on the harvest. It takes work and it takes time. From the beginning, the purity of our ingredients, our rigorous certifications, our scrutiny of the past, our environmental consciousness, our design aesthetic have always been our intention. We've done the work. And thank you, Kirsten, for doing that work because you and your products are a gift on so many levels. And now I'd like to thank you for being here with us today.
Hi, Kirsten. Thank you. Welcome. Hi, Natalia. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for what an intro. I'm just so excited to be here with you. I mean, I'm such a fan of your work and have been for so many years. It's been so transformative for me, and to have the ability to speak to your audience and just share, you know, this passion of beauty and what it can be with you is just such an honor. So thank you.
Oh no, it's so amazing for us to be here together. And we've had so many conversations about cleansing and beauty and skincare. And I've had the benefit of being able to use your beautiful skincare makeup lines for several years now. And I'm just so grateful. You can see I brought some out today. You can just see the glow, the energy that's in them. And so today we're just really going to talk about beauty and have lots of questions for you. You wrote, my Danish upbringing taught me to appreciate things that are often overlooked, the richness of color, the strength of nature, and the purity of plants. To me, that is beauty. That was a quote from you. And it's so interesting that you had the upbringing you did on a farm in, the Danish farm. And then because of it, you were able to become a bridge for the makeup and skincare world and take that world from toxic territory into life force territory in your own vision, in your own realm. Would you share a bit of that journey and how what you saw in that world and how it affected you and how you felt about it and how that eventually sparked what would become your great vision?
Yes, definitely. I think, you know, growing up on the farm, there's many, in essence, you know, to creating the brand and finally, you know, having launched it, as you mentioned, over a decade ago, there's obviously many steps to the journey and many layers to it and many sort of aha moments in many ways. But I, going back to the farm, that there's no doubt that growing up there, very minimalist, you know, I'm the youngest out of six kids, so very busy farm, but super minimalist at the same time while I was busy, definitely installed just a love of nature, you know, in me. It installed a love of things don't have to be super complicated to be really, really good. In fact, I'll oftentimes, that's the case, you know, like just few ingredients, but quality, quality, quality. And we, it was an organic farm. However, you know, I didn't really know about that term. I don't think, you know, is it really something that we thought about, but we grew, you know, our own crops and really ate from the garden most of the time. And so going back to that, installed that piece, then I just, you know, while I was a child growing up, enjoyed it, but also really just dreamt of big cities and art and culture and getting out of there and seeing the world. So that's what I jumped into, you know, and eventually I landed at a school in Paris that was sort of a prestigious makeup school. I had gotten there through avenues that I never saw coming. I had never really spent any time on makeup. My mother, you know, honestly didn't wear any makeup. I think, you know, her idea of dressing up was honestly a moisturizer. So it was very not in the cards for me, but the creativity was. And the love of beauty, beauty meaning nature, beautiful things, design, you know, quality pieces, stuff like that really, really was something that fed my soul in many ways. So I was, I can kind of see, you know, how the journey started in nature, took me into that world. Living abroad, going to this makeup school, living in Paris, eventually, you know, getting into the beauty industry and the fashion industry, working as a makeup artist, and loving it because I could see that it was like painting, but it was painting faces. And then eventually I could also really see what it did for women. You know, you have somebody that potentially gets up in your chair quite reluctantly because they feel they don't really belong. And you teach them a few tips and tricks. You know, we as women have just been conditioned to be so, criticizing ourselves so much, you know. And I don't know how many times I've had somebody sit in the chair and immediately 3-4 things come off, you know, like, please don't look at my eyes. I hate my eyebrows, you know, anything. And so just, you know, seeing what a little bit of attention and showcasing what 5 minutes of wearing something, you know, that is pretty invisible on the skin, but just, you know, assists in having somebody jump out of the chair. That can actually be quite addictive. And it just became something that, that I really enjoyed working with. And then, along those lines of, I would say, probably having worked for about 15, 20 years with it, I just started really seeing the effects of especially the conventional brands that I had in my kit at the time had on the skin on all these women I was working on. And there was a direct correlation. There was no doubt about it. That really, you know, in essence, got me questioning if I can see the short-term effects this easily, you know, what does a long, lifelong use of this actually do to a woman's health over time? And so I felt, you know, it's time for me to look into some more natural products. This is, however, you know, like all the way back in the early 2000s. And at that point in time, there really weren't many brands on the market. There were some of the familiar German ones, Dr. Hauschka, Veleda, that are still very much on the market to this day. And they had some beautiful ingredients profile, but they just couldn't quite perform. So that was the setting point. That was the setting point for thinking, if I can kind of take the best of these two worlds that lived apart, the conventional and the natural space, and merge them into what in essence could almost be a new category, like an uncompromising category, that could be really interesting. And I felt, you know, like something really resonated deeply with me in that. And so I jumped for it and just started that endeavor.
Wow, that's amazing. You mentioned a few terms. Performance. Well, yeah. I think that's a distinct distinguishing factor with these natural products. It's, you know, it's like, well, that's great that they're made with just natural ingredients, but if you want that performance, if you want to have that finish that's on camera or for an event or just to feel good in your day-to-day life, if it makes that difference to you in terms of your confidence, it has to have the performance capabilities. So that's a huge thing you determined. And then also you allude to the beauty of craftsmanship or craftswomanship. It's, you know, that element of specialness. And when you mentioned the design and the beauty, not necessarily to, you know, just be a facade, but actually to have something that's beautifully made and comes from, like, it's all the integrity, the whole chain of beauty command is yeah. there, you know, is switched on. Also, as you spoke, you know, I couldn't help but become abundantly aware of how your eye for beauty is what would make all the difference, not just, you know, ultimately with your cosmetics and skincare products, but when those individuals, when those ladies sat in your chair and, you know, and you could bring something out of them that got them to hop up gleefully, it's yeah. because your eye, you have to have that eye for beauty to know how to bring it out of them, to see that thing that they couldn't see or didn't know how to do. But, you know, by doing it, you could show them and you give them a gift just by possessing that eye for beauty. And how, I suppose we could all to a degree cultivate that even if we don't see ourselves as artists, but yes. having that in order to create beautiful surroundings and also to help enhance our own personal beauty and those around us who might, you know, like to feel a little better about themselves.
Definitely. And I think, you know, beauty is like, I love beauty, you know, beauty in nature, beauty when you stand next to a beautiful field of sunflowers, which we had up here where I live in Connecticut recently. And I just stood there and I was like, this is so incredible. And whether, you know, some of us potentially are more drawn to it, you know, than others. But at the end of the day, I think subconsciously there is a draw to beauty in life. You know, it's like going out in nature, you see a waterfall, we all pull out our cameras, or you go to a place, it could be a big city, it could be, you know, going to Paris, and you're just standing in front of such incredible architecture or any kind of design that is just moving, it touches something deeper. And so I think, you know, in terms of, for instance, our packaging, for me, that was an important piece to the equation, because why wouldn't it matter all the way down to a piece of beauty, a piece of makeup that you pull out of your bag? I think it really, really does. And then it's finding a way where you could create something that also had a sustainable aspect to it, you know, like really merging the two. Typically, I think we had gotten so used to that anything natural tends to come with a compromise, meaning potentially it didn't come in the most, you know, glamorous packaging. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There's a place for that. But also you could turn it on its head and say, why couldn't it? Why couldn't it come in something that really felt beautiful to pull out of your bag and you could have sit on your vanity and it could give you pleasure just visually? So from that standpoint, you know, like there's that aspect of beauty, but you also touched on yourself, you know, like the ingredients. There's so much beauty in how they're taken care of, if they're taken care of well. There's so much beauty in seeing that actually being applied to a formulation, all that gorgeous raw material that Mother Nature has provided in her most esteemed way. Now we take that raw material with so much reverence for it and put that into a formulation that actually works. Because as you mentioned, Natalia, it has to work. Otherwise, it doesn't serve a purpose. We can speak to the beautiful ingredients and they feel good, but at the end of the day, they have to perform. And that was really such a key component, which I think my makeup artistry came in handy, you know, from a standpoint of I got a few lessons, you know, as I started stepping into production of natural ingredients, because it's completely different than working in synthetics. You know, with synthetics, you know what you've got. It's always the same season after season. Natural raw materials, you know, like have their own life. They are really, you know, coming out of a season that could have had a lot of rain or a lot of sun. We don't know. It's like being in the wine industry in many ways. But what I learned the hard way, also the fun way, with the passionate way, is that working with a formulation where you can't use any synthetics, because that's key for our products. But finding a way of getting that same performance without a silicone, as an example, you know, I had worked on that so diligently for one of our first products, which was our cream blush. And then I put it into production, you know, like 10 kilos, my own money, invested this in it. And then I got a production piece from it. And it was completely, not completely, but it was different from the one that I had signed off on. And my beloved Italian said to me, "Well, Kirsten, welcome to the natural world. This is how it is here." You know, and it turned out that the shea butter that we used in the sampling came from a different season than the shea butter that came for the production. It had a lower fat content, which basically meant that all of a sudden the product was dry in a whole different way. And that's when I really realized, wow, this is why nobody has really taken this on before, because it's a lot of handholding in order to make sure that the product never changes. So we can have all these different harvests. We can have all these different raw materials we work with every time we do a new production of a bestseller, but the customer can never see all the work that went into maintaining the texture, maintaining the color. And that's beauty too. You know, like that's beauty. It's the beautiful harvest of nature that comes like that. So I think that sort of beauty piece translates through so many things, you know, from inside to outside.
Wow, what an extraordinary effort you go to get it right, and how many have come before you who just looked up, were just daunted, way overly daunted, way too intimidated by being able to find the wherewithal to work with natural ingredients and be that patient and manage it. I mean, that's a huge achievement just in and of itself. What would you say to women who are sort of between worlds? They still have a lot of their old world cosmetics, and maybe they cling to them because of the performance, because of what they're used to, because of the face they've always worn. You know, also just to take into consideration as you answer the question around, you know, how we evolve. When I say age, I don't mean like get and look older and the mainstream like way of aging, but like as we come into our, come to fruition as women, as we evolve, as we develop, as we ride the centropic spiral of time to become more than we were, I think what I've seen a lot of with the previous generations is a clinging to the past. So if a woman felt she looked her best when she was 25, she'll still at 65 have the same hairdo, wear the same makeup and the same clothes that she wore 25, because that's her affiliation, or that's her sort of sense of when she felt the best. So how can they ease then bridge that transition away from things that they did out of habit or because they clung to it for various, you know, beauty reasons or self-confidence reasons, and let go of those things and embrace the new and what they, and how can they also evolve their look to correspond with their consciousness and their evolving intellect and connectivity with nature and all of these other things? Is that?
Yes. So I think, you know, that there's a couple of things in that. I think in terms of, you know, transitioning potentially from these favorites, you know, and we tend to, as women, you know, like that have loved throughout the ages, wearing some makeup, falling in love exactly to your point with certain pieces. And there's a loyalty there. There's a loyalty there that I know this works for me. And I fully understand that, you know, sometimes it's a certain feel. Sometimes it's a fragrance. Sometimes it's just this familiar friend that makes you feel good. And so I think, you know, what has been key, you know, in terms of developing this brand. And that's not just, you know, for us, you know, but that generally what has happened in the space during the past decade is going from naturals not really performing and having like a pretty significant stigmatization around it, because it was always, it came with this but. And then I just want to challenge somebody to sort of say, okay, take a leap of faith. A decade later, you know, that performance is really now on par, and in my humble opinion, better, because the feel in the skin is completely different. I think, you know, like the biggest compliment that I would start to get in terms of, you know, still when I was still out in the field working, you know, on fashion shoots, is that typically at the end of the day, the models would come over and they would say to me, you know, I just need something to wipe this off with. And they wanted to go home clean faced. But when I started bringing, you know, my own stuff, they were like, no, I can't even feel it. This feels great. I'm keeping it on. That was such a transitional point, because it really is because of the ingredients profile. The ingredients profile, and this is sort of like a pitch into like, give it a shot, like give it a try. Because the feel and the skin, in my opinion, you can't even compare. It's not something that sits on top of the skin. It really is something that resonates with the skin. It is that sort of the natural ingredients and our oneness with nature, in essence, is a recognition. It's almost like when the natural ingredients hit the skin, it's a joyfulness, you know, it is a it's a resonance. And I actually just want briefly just to touch on, because you have made such a big difference for me, Natalia, in actually explaining what happens. You have done this video back in the days. You're sitting on this boat and you're talking about the conductivity of the electron in the atom in the cell, and how that wellness and well-being really, you know, starts all the way there, all the way to that, you know, tiny electron. And somehow when you did that explanation, I all of a sudden, you know, had the verbiage to put into words exactly what it was that I felt. And so I honestly still listen to this video here and there, because it resonates so deeply that it gives me goosebumps. So that's one thing I would say. And in terms of what to shifting out, I typically recommend, you know, go with something that you ingest. You know, typically if you had a lipstick that you really liked, maybe just try a natural one, because it really is something you eat, you know, it ends up in your system. And so I think that's very important. I also think something that typically goes around the eyes is a good place to start and see and test. A mascara, you know, you really apply it for those that wear mascaras along the wet line, and it's a wet area every day, so the bacteria buildup is real. So a huge difference in that. And then, you know, the larger surface, the skin, foundations, you know, skincare, certainly body care would be a place to also just test it, and then see how well these things actually perform. And just like the wellness aspect of it is something that one has to try, I feel. And in terms of, you know, sort of changing looks, I fully understand that as well. You know, sometimes I think, should I cut my hair? But then I'm like, no, I actually love my hair long, and I love when I can put it up and I can put it back. But then again, I've never really tried it super short. So there's definitely a certain attachment to that. I recognize that very much. I think, you know, as a good sort of general rule, think of it certainly, you know, with aging, my opinion really is less is more. You know, like where we have potentially been used to covering the skin, and there could be a time and a place for that. I understand if you're a young teenager, you have an acne breakout, that it really helps, you know, just to be able to cover things. But The main thing here is to think of, you want it to be invisible on the skin. You want it to have the coverage, but it still needs to stay invisible. And that's really just learning some techniques. We have some videos, you know, like how you can see how that application can happen, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, you know, again, sort of less is more, let the skin be seen. It doesn't mean that I'm suggesting you don't wear anything at all. It's just a lesser amount. Slow down, you know, potentially on powders. I really don't think powder, unless, you know, like there is a super oily skin, but it's a sort of allowing yourself to be seen a little bit more. That for me is typically the sort of the leap of faith of, okay, I'm going to step away from some of the heavier makeup that I have potentially used in the past.
That's really helpful. And you were talking about the makeup that we eat. when I wear, and the resonance you're talking about, when I wear your makeup, when I'm using your skincare, I'm imagining, I'm feeling, I'm knowing that there is a symbiotic relationship with the product, with all these natural ingredients in it, that the skin actually wants to eat it in a good way. It's like it's being fed, it's being nourished. Maybe that's what I'm trying to get at there. The nourishing ability of the products. Well, I won't say products like yours. I don't think there's anything of your standard, but your products. And on along those lines, and along the lines of the vision of what the future of beauty is going to be, especially if you have your way. If I have my way, describe the high vibration, energetic, behind the scenes action of what you develop, and how that parlays into our radiance when we use the right products, and also, if we can sneak it in there, how it could potentially, with the high vibration energy, invigorate even the bone structure and the energy and the shape of the face, whereas old world makeup and skincare seems to ultimately deplete not just the hydration and the cellular wellness of the skin, but also seems on a structural level to cause everything to become kind of downtrodden.
Yes. So I think, you know, with the ingredients that go into the products, for me, it's all about the quality of these ingredients. And that means certified organic or biodynamically farmed ingredients. And the difference in that, you know, broad strokes, is when you can call something certified organic, it means that the soil has to be pesticide free for 3 years, which is obviously great. Biodynamic farming, it's 10 years minimum. And then there's a few more aspects that tie into biodynamic farming, but just, you know, to make it simple. So in addition to that, you know, we try and harvest the majority of all our ingredients very close to our facility in Italy, where we produce everything. And so from the standpoint of, you know, maintaining the life force in the ingredient, I think we all have seen or, you know, potentially tasted the difference of, you know, picking a fresh tomato off the vine in season, an organic tomato, versus getting an organic tomato that maybe has traveled in November, you know, from, let's say, California. And by the time you get it, it's still organic, but it doesn't have the same life force. It's in the flavor, it's in the feel, it's in the just the overall, I would say, vibration of this ingredient. And so on one hand side, we have these magical ingredients coming to our facility, getting ready, you know, for going into production. And then we do this process with our manufacturers that I would say that, you know, experiencing the production cycle, the production process, their methods is a humbling experience. And I don't see everything of it, you know, because some of it, you know, is sort of a proprietary nature to what they do and have developed. But they, you know, are my family. So I, that's okay. That's okay. The nature of what they do is, in essence, infusing the raw material with this loving energy in a whole process that obviously can be hard to explain, like, what does that actually do? The same way it would be hard to explain exactly what does your love for your child, you know, how can I measure that? You can't put your fingers into a plug and it comes out and says, yes, that is correct. It's an energy. It's an energy we can all relate to. It's an energy that we've felt. And it's real in the sense that I know that every time somebody says to me, I don't know what exactly it is about your products, I just love it. I just want more of it. And it's the respect for the raw material. It's the honoring, almost like a ceremony, you know, of gratitude, of thankfulness for what nature has just provided us with. And then how that translates onto the skin is a very, very unique process. And I love it so much. I can feel it. I can just absolutely feel it. And so when that goes on the skin, you know, I feel the difference that one feels and that I see, you know, on our customers or like my friends and family that I see on a regular basis, what it does to the skin, it's kind of like that life force translating itself in the glow of the skin. The term healing is obviously not something that I can sort of officially use, but I really consider it a healing energy. A good example could be, you know, like something like rosacea. My sister has always had rosacea, you know, after using, you know, specifically our beautiful oil. There's a root in there called the root of light that is known for its high frequency. It has just calmed that down completely. You know, there's so many healers in nature. It's just what I'm fascinated by. It really is also, together with our manufacturer, discovering new ingredients that never before have been associated with beauty, and actually have them included in a beauty product. So in essence, while you wear it for the color payoff, typically, you are now getting that skincare benefit, that healing benefit, or that extra sort of hybrid effect that you didn't necessarily, what can I say, buy into. It just comes as a natural enhancement due to the quality of the ingredients. And so I feel, you know, like in terms of the structural piece to the skin, where I see that, Natalia, truly is in like the health of the skin. It is in the color of the skin, you know, like there's just an aliveness. And, you know, these ingredients, whether it be rosehip seed oil, almond seed oil, you know, our olive oils, they have the antioxidants. They have the vitamin E's, the vitamin A's that typically are addressed as, you know, anti-aging, God forbid, that term really needs to get put aside forever. But, you know, like these terms that typically live in the beauty industry, all these ingredients, they embody that. We just don't use terms like that, you know, like the anti-aging as an example. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, beautifully. It does. It really does. And the blessing,
yeah,
love that is infused in everything, it does translate. It's not calculable in a a laboratory perhaps, but it's evident, it's visible, and it's felt.
Yes.
All right. So a few questions for our members. I think we'll probably open up more gems, bring forth more gems from you. The first one is, could you please provide some beauty ideas related to what Kirsten recommends? Or sorry, could you please provide some beauty ideas related to what you'd recommend for skin with dark spots? This individual says, I'm 66 and find my skin lacks its usual luster these days. Which products or regimens would bring it to life again? I'm interested not only in addressing dark spots, but also in knowing what works best at this stage of life.
Right. So I think it's a few different approaches. You know, one of them, and certainly her being part of your community, is nutrition. It is, you know, like the green juices. I feel like the vitality of the green juices definitely assist in the vitality of the skin. Then it's obviously, you know, like a simple but skincare routine that is efficacious. I would suggest, you know, like our beautiful oil, which is something like this. There's also, you know,
it's the best. I just have to jump in there and say this is my favorite oil in the world ever. This is the best.
Oh, thank you. I love that. Thank you.
Great.
And then I really think, you know, I have actually recently reinvested in infrared light. So I think that's a way. I sit now in front of that a couple of minutes, 2 to 5 minutes. And I had, you know, like a few sort of brown spots. Hasn't taken them away, but it's definitely minimized it. Another piece to the vitality of the skin and really invigorating the layer, the tissue right underneath the skin, getting that up and moving again, getting it plump, which really with the other pieces will assist in a full rounded approach, you know, to get that life force sort of back into the skin when it feels dull. And that is facial yoga. I, you know, do recently I've been doing that for now almost like 2 months, about 20 minutes of facial yoga in the morning, which is literally a whole regimen, but it's wonderful. And I feel and see a difference just in the softness, the plumpness of the skin. And that, you know, is a routine that you can look up. There's many that teach that on, you know, Instagram. I follow this wonderful woman called Yoga Facelift. She's also out of Denmark, and she's taught me so much about this, and I really see the benefit of that. So I think approaching it, you know, from different sides is what's going to give that full rounded result. And then to sort of as a final approach, just from a skincare perspective, you know, on on getting that evenness of tone of skin, I think, you know, like a super soft peel at night. We have something called the night potion. It's very gentle, but it is a cell turning over process that happens overnight. And so I always feel like when I'm wearing that at night, I wake up, you know, with a skin that just looks more even overall and kind of ready for the day.
Wow, that's great. Those are wonderful tips. I must try that. I've always been a little bit conscious of the fact that I have discolorations. I've always felt like, because I was always kind of freckly as a kid. So I totally understand that. I appreciate it. It's anything that balances that, I think, just helps to bring that uniformity. That from a cosmetic standpoint, that's really, I think, the reason a lot of women use foundation to begin with. And if that uniformity is there naturally, then you can just skip that step, use your oils, and get on with your day. So that's a nice way I love the idea of that product. Next question is, I would love to know what Kirsten's favorite products are, the ones she uses.
Right. So I use the beautiful oil. That's a must in my routine. You know, typically it's a very easy routine. It's a fast routine in the morning. I I will just use cold water. Sometimes I'll use our cleanser because it's so gentle. But that's really just in the summer, if it's been warm or something like that. And then the oil, I use our hydration serum, which is sort of the yin to the yang to this, which is a hyaluronic acid, but very, very gentle. And it gives the hydration where this gives the moisture. And then I use our eye balm around the eye area. And I use a minimal amount of a foundation. We have some different ones, you know, but I will use a very, very small amount. And a good way of seeing that you actually don't need a lot is to have great light when you apply it. If you want to apply a little bit of foundation, then I use, most times I use our new bronzers. You know, I have that on today because I felt I looked a little pale, you know, but it just gives that pop, that sort of warmth to the face without necessarily having had to be out in the sun. And I will use, you know, something for the lips. We recently launched these tinted lip balms. They are like butter on the lips. Then some days I might, add a little bit to my eyes, but most of the time it could just be mascara if I'm working at home. And then I cleanse my face at night and then I put on the night potion. And that's really pretty much my routine.
That's awesome. And I want to show, I've got the eye balm here, by the way, if anyone wants to see it. It's so juicy and amazing. I love it. You mentioned the bronzer, which I have, I forgot to pull it out, but I love your bronzer so much. Can we take a second and talk about application along those lines? Because like when you talk about the bronzer, it's all well and good that it's like the best bronzer on the planet, but then if you don't apply it right, you can not get, you know, the full benefit. So how does one apply bronzer and how does one apply blush to not look like, you know, 30 years ago?
Yes. So think of it this way. You want to make it look like it's a part of you. You want to, that's how I prefer. Not to say that there's anything wrong with that makeup actually looks like makeup. It works, you know, for a lot of people out there. I personally like it to look like it's just an extension of me. And so think of a bronzer, you know, if you sat out in the sun half an hour during your lunch break and you had your face into the sun, where would the sun naturally hit? It would hit, you know, on the top, the highest points. So that's right, you know, the apple of the cheek right here. I apply a bit on my nose to give the illusion of that I also got some sun on my nose. A small bit on the forehead. And you can do it, you know, I should just show you, I have a brush. I should have pulled that out. Anyways, here it is. There's a brush. If you prefer not putting your fingers into the product, I love applying it with the fingers because the warmth of the fingers really allows it to become one with the skin. So it disappears and it again gives that illusion of it's just part of you. So, but then a bit, you know, maybe on the forehead, and just make sure that you have good light when you apply something like this because you want to make sure that it's nicely blended. You could do the same for the blush. If it was like a rosy blush, I would again apply it on the apples of the cheek. This you can also use if you're super minimalist as an eyeshadow. It's not going to last all day because it is cream based, but that's really that's where I would apply it. You know, just think of it, where would the sun naturally hit? Where do I have color when I come back from a yoga class? Where, you know, that's where you would apply it.
Okay, and I wasn't clear that it was a cream bronzer. So I have your powder bronzer.
Oh, you have my powder.
And that's why when I saw you doing it with your fingers, I'm like, hang on, you know, I didn't know I was allowed to do that with my fingers. Because with the powder, I wouldn't, but I understand now that it's cream. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, that's a big, very big help right there. Okay, so the next question is a very popular one, drum roll, would love to know what products are best for facial lines.
Right. So the best products for that, you know, let's say it's around the eyes, is definitely the eye balm. The eye balm has in it something called Agmatis bilantis, which in modern terms or sort of beauty terms is also called nature's Botox. It's not going to do the job of a Botox, but it is, it is an ingredient. It is a raw material that assists in kind of just tightening the skin. You know, it really helps with the blood sort of blood fusion to an area. So that way, you know, it assists in softening lines. So that I would use. I would definitely use, you know, the beautiful oil again. That has all the vitamin A's, the E's, the antioxidants, all the things that I was, you know, talking about before, that assists, you know, against free radicals that typically are the ones that sort of, you know, will create lines around the eyes or foreheads, etc. So that's a really good product. And then I would also, you know, like use the night potion. The night potion, again, sort of assists in a very, very gentle format in that sort of cell renewal. So they would be three good go-tos when it comes to skincare. And then just think of that the makeup itself really have the same ingredients. The only difference in creating something like this or creating something like this is we add color. And now it functions as a makeup, but it's still the same ingredients. So you're still getting, you know, that skincare benefit while wearing it for something else.
That's extraordinary. I'm so glad you put it like that, because I don't know that would have been absolutely clear.
Right.
That's remarkable. And then, you know, it just makes me think about the application of makeup on top of, well, certainly a makeup that isn't pure on top of this caliber of skincare product. You know, you've used the balm, you've used the oil, and now the last thing you want to do is put like the mainstream makeup on top of that. And can you speak a little bit to how to if someone already has deep lines or crow's feet or just like some lines that they don't want to make more pronounced by using makeup, even if they're using, say, your high quality foundation or something, how to apply that foundation to minimize the appearance of those wrinkles?
Yes. So I think that is really by having a skin, you know, like beauty really, you know, is that sort of inside job. And then what we end up doing in the field of beauty brands, you know, I feel like what we do is the icing on the cake. Mm-hmm. So it's really having that moisturized, you know, skin as much as possible through the juices, and then having a skincare. I love oils, Natalia. I love applying this, and don't be scared of oils. I think, again, you know, sort of from back in the days, there's still potentially for some a little bit of nervousness around oils. You know, is it going to break me out? You know, what is it too greasy? Is it going to make me look oily? It all depends on the skin, on the oil, what kind of oil it is, the quality of the oil, and what type of oil it is. So in this oil, as an example, we have, you know, four key oils: rosehip seed oil, olive oil, almond seed oil, and jojoba. And they are all considered dry oils, meaning they absorb fast. So applying this, you know, for a skin that, you know, has some lines, is really just going to soften the look, soften everything. And it's not going to make you look greasy or oily. It's just going to leave you with that glow that has such a healthy appearance to it. Then if you want to apply a foundation, go super light, super light hand. Again, having a great mirror in front of good light, you can see that you don't necessarily have to apply the foundation all over. It doesn't have to be that. It can just be, you know, positioned where you might need a little extra. There's a little redness, some broken veins, whatever it might be. That's where you go in and just spot apply. And then a lot of times, you know, the questions we get similar to that is around the eyes. So, you know, I need some concealer, but I really don't want it because it ends up, you know, in my lines. Again, apply a good base, the oil for the face, the eye balm under the eyes. And then, you know, you can use our cream foundation or our concealer and applying it on top. And it will absolutely give you that soft effect and not end up in, you know, your lines. However, I will say it's natural for us, you know, to have mimic, thank God, during the day. It's natural for us to laugh and smile. We don't want to stop doing that. So I'm not going to promise that at the end of the day, you might not have a few pieces, but it's natural. It's unavoidable. But that technique will really stretch that time from early in the morning to late in the afternoon. So I hope that's helpful just in terms of some tips for that.
It really is. And I think that the best takeaway there too is that you're just nourishing your skin. You're healing. You're providing an opportunity for regeneration. We're doing all the internal regeneration work. Let's help it out topically as well. Use the best high vibration products we can to have this sympathetic relationship working and symbiosis, so that it can all be, every single angle is in alignment, yeah, and is working in concert to help, yeah, the being ascend, to help the being receive those high vibration energies from everything we're using. You know, in addition to that, you know, obviously you want to have, you know, the high caliber organic sheets and an organic mattress, and it all plays in, you know, it all has to be there. And little by little, we chip away at it and get it right and transition across. But this is like the thing that you're using, that your skin is eating all day long. It's eating everything that you put onto it. So it's a beautiful way to provide the aesthetic that you like with a product or products that are going to only contribute to the bigger picture of one's regeneration and integration with the source force.
Yeah.
So here's another question from the group. This is actually the last question from the group. These days, many women are dissatisfied with the idea of using injections for achieving plump lips. Are there any products available that can help in naturally enhancing lip fullness?
You know, there are some. We don't, I would say, currently have some in the line, because it's mainly synthetic ingredients that really can assist in truly seeing that volumizing effect on the lips. However, this, you know, like the tinted lip balm that we just launched, you know, also has that Acmella spilantis that I mentioned before, that really assists in blood circulation. So it gives a little bit, but I'm not gonna, you know, give the illusion of it's the same as a filler, because it isn't. What I've seen really, really help, again, is the facial yoga. And facial yoga, you know, takes consistency. So doing something as simple as like this, just when you're in the shower, I now do it when I'm driving. It's something I can do with my hands on the wheel. Doing that on a consistent basis for a month, you will absolutely see a difference in your lips. It's amazing. So it's just all these little tricks, you know, that we can do naturally, and not to put any judgment on fillers. You know, people are sovereign and on their own lives, you know, and we should have the right to do whatever we want. But this is just a natural and actually very effective alternative. Another good little tip for that is like putting your fingers, you know, up under your lips and kind of just go like that and count to 20. Do the same at the bottom. Do that 2-3 times a day. You'll see a big difference in your lips. Just have the patience and stay consistent with it. It's really about that discipline.
That's a wonderful tip. Kirsten, can you just do that little lip thing you did earlier again for us?
Just literally like going like this. I try and do it when there's nobody around, you know, so as I said, you know, if I'm in the shower, when I'm driving into New York, I have plenty of time listening to podcasts and doing stuff like that. But I see a difference. I absolutely see a difference.
Awesome. Don't the French just do that all the time? Maybe that's why. My goodness, that's wonderful. And it's so interesting, because here there's this whole new trajectory that you're leading the forces on in terms of transforming beauty care into this super elevated high vibration space. And then at the same time, so there's this like, you know, this incredible trajectory that's super elevated. And then simultaneously, there's never been a time when there's been so much use of synthetics and plastic surgery and injections and all of this. So it's like the two worlds are just like, the one is revving up, your world is revving up, and the other one is, I mean, I suppose it's just which the one you plug yourself into is, you know, is the one you're in on.
Yeah.
And do you have anything you want to say about that, and like where that's going to go, and where sort of the future of beauty?
I really think, you know, the future of beauty is going to be a lot more broad. I mean, that's definitely the message that I try and get out there with the company on a regular basis, you know, like really taking the concept of beauty that has been conditioned into us in such a narrow framework that if you didn't live within this framework, you shouldn't really consider calling yourself beautiful. And it's, you know, just like tearing down that paradigm, considering that, and this is for women specifically, you know, because men, there's a different allowing of, for instance, growing older, you know, like there's a different acceptance around that versus women. There's definitely a double standard on that front. And so I really think, you know, like looking at beauty much, much more as a holistic approach, you know, again, from a wellness perspective, sort of taking wellness into the thriving of the cells, you know, and I'm speaking to you who really has the most incredible explanation and vocabulary and understanding and wisdom around this. But that is so important to start getting the understanding that beauty is being smart. You know, beauty is basically the incorporation of what your specific beauty is. It's like, as I said, kicking down that paradigm that has been put on us. It's, you know, it's inclusivity. It is making, you know, loving choices for yourself. It is so much broader. So having that conversation is really, I think, going to start tipping, you know, the concept of beauty and what it means and what is available in a different direction. I think what you're saying, it's almost like the old paradigm on many fronts, but also beauty is coming to a closure, and there's a new sort of dawning happening. And I really was kind of struck by a survey that was done many years ago, or it was done by Dove, I think. And they had asked women around the world, you know, to go in through two different doors. I think they had invited them to an event, and a lot of women came. They wanted to see, what is this event that Dove is putting up? And once you got there, there were two doors you could walk through. One said, "I am beautiful," and you would have, you know, to really feel that, you know, and walk in there. Or there was one that said, kind of like, "I'm okay, I'm mediocre." And I'm paraphrasing, you know, somewhat, so it could be slightly different. But the bottom line is only 4% walked into the door that said, "I am beautiful." And when you think of that as women holding, you know, half the population on the planet, 4% out of that, that is a very small amount. I mean, that is just wrong on all levels. So really, you know, being part of changing that programming, that understanding, you know, embracing ourselves in a whole different way, I think is super important for ourselves, but also for our daughters, our nieces, our sisters. That is a key component to, you know, certainly to this brand, but also I see it from other brands that, you know, for instance, would never use the term anti-aging, you know, so stuff like that is, feels archaic and completely outlived.
Yeah. Wow. That's wonderful. And this new dawn, you're the goddess of this new dawn for sure. If there is one. Wow, Kirsten, what a wealth of knowledge. What a pioneer. And I admire your effort, your determination, your perseverance, your vision, all of it. You're carrying all of us forward, and we get to benefit from it all. So just
thank you. I send it right back to you, Natalia. I really, you know, as I kind of started our conversation by saying, it's been so many layers that has kind of gotten it to where I am today and starting the business and coming across your book and understanding the health of the inner, like really cultivating beauty from the inside out, you know, has been such a huge part of it. So, I send it right back to you. I'm so grateful to have had the chance to speak to you on beauty.
Well, it's so mutual. Is there anything that that you would like to leave our audience with? Any way you might further, anything you might add to further empower, strengthen their walk on this path?
I really think the, you know, beauty is supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be joyous. It's really about celebrating our sisters, our daughters, ourselves. And I feel, you know, like every time that I see somebody, you know, I kind of go back to what comes back to me, Natalia, is, you know, that these experiences that I've had of somebody sitting in the chair reluctantly and not having seen themselves as beautiful. But really now, you know, seeing the beauty paradigm as so much more than the physical, that's one thing. Then I think there's a hesitance also around makeup application, and I don't really know how to do it. And that way I stay away from it. You know, it's actually, it's very bulletproof. It really is, you know. So many of the products on the market today, not just ours, are cream-based. So even if you apply a little too much or you feel like I didn't get that quite right, you just keep tapping on it. You kind of just keep touching it and it'll slowly come off. Just jump into it, you know, have fun with it. These products, you know, you can eat, you can give them to your daughters. You know, it's really a different type of beauty that has entered the world in the last decade. And so I think what I'm just trying to say in a very roundabout way is it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be joyous. And it really is, shouldn't be intimidating. Kind of just jump into it and see how good it feels, you know, and by that, it actually also looks really good, you know. So, I think it's a new day, you know. It's a different kind of luxury almost. It's an inherent luxury where the luxurious piece is like built into a product. It's a luxurious feeling to do something good for yourself. It's a luxurious feeling to do something good for the planet, to be part of that, you know, like where it's a little bit, I think the world in so many ways is turning, you know, on its head upside down for the better, and beauty, you know, has a part in that.
It really does. I know I said it was the last thing we were going to, I was going to close out, but it feels like there's one more thing that needs to be said, which is, and it just occurred to me that the way, what you're describing and that the sense of self-care and celebrating of your own beauty, it takes into consideration or it assumes that one finds themselves beautiful, going back to that Dove, the two doors, the corridors and the Dove experiment. And I think what I'd love to just address and at least touch on is that part of the problem with the big problem with beauty of the past is that it's been about this cookie cutter idea. And if you don't fit into the standard, this idea of what beauty is that culture has handed you, then you obviously don't fit into beauty or that, you know, so to be able to strip everything away, to nourish and care for your skin and minimally apply some beautifying accents, it means that you, no matter what shape you are, no matter what you know your bone structure is, color of your skin, and whatever it is, if the body is purified and you're working in concert with nature, then whatever it is that you are needs to be cared for and celebrated. And you know, I just wanted to, even though I'm doing it very clumsily, so forgive me, but it's like we can't forget that we have to throw those assumptions around the cookie cutter visual of what beauty has been for the last 100 years or more, so that every single person can bask in all of what you're describing and just feed and enhance the skin, no matter what they, you know, think or how they think they measure up in terms of the old paradigm of beauty. Could you say something to that?
Yes, I really think it's the understanding exactly of that the beauty of the cleanse, you know, as you so beautifully teach, the beauty of the ingredients that we eat, you know, in a green juice as an example, the beauty in products that are cared for with thoughtfulness, all tie into the beauty in all of us, so that it really allows for us all to have a place. There's a place in the beauty space, in the term beauty, for everyone. And it's just time, you know, to, in essence, letting that come to the surface, letting that paradigm of a very, very sort of narrow approach to beauty that has just been bestowed on us, you know, by whom? Like it's you kind of just want to go like, you know, please, and step in our full glory, in our full essence, letting ourselves be seen, you know, truly for the beautiful essence that we are, just for being here.
Beautiful. Yes. Thank you, Kirsten. Beautiful closing words. And thank you again for being with us. And thanks everyone for being present for this. And I know it will serve you so well.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it. Thanks so much, Natalia.
Oh, me too, my friend. Thank you. Thanks. All right.